There are many applications that you can download for your technological equipment. They're abbreviated as apps, and not to be confused with appetizers when you go out for, sometimes they say half off on apps, and it's like, well, I want free apps. I can download free apps. But anyway, they're designed for the technological devices, and the intent of their use is to enable you to run a program or easily utilize a service that is provided by the creator of the app. And you'll find these for smartphones, for iPads, for notebooks, for computers, for TVs, all kinds of technological equipment they're making apps for, hoping to have you utilize their service and making it more easily accessible to you. Typically, they do have other things that they're going to sell you, even if they have a free download of that app. But I want to suggest to you that there is an app that we all need to utilize. It is a free app. It is downloadable. It is user-friendly, and we need to get accustomed to its features and utilize its service. And this is what I'm calling and kind of relating it to the technological part, although you will realize it's not doesn't really have anything to do with technology. But that is what I'm calling the Truth app. Now watch this. This phone is going to appear downloading. We just downloaded the Truth app there. And so now we're going to open it up and see what all is included in the Truth app. You just swipe your phone, and here it comes. The applications for Truth are discerning truth, believing truth, speaking truth, and acting on truth. So let's go into our series of the Truth app. For a few weeks, we're going to be spending some time looking at these things concerning truth and how it affects our life. I made reference before of the flyer, the monthly newsletter that we put out, and in there I had given you some indication of some of the things that we need to consider when we're talking about dealing with truth. In our series of contending for the faith, we looked at some, significant bottom line truths that we need to adhere to. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as divine as God, existed with God before creation, before his physical existence here on earth. We talked about the virgin birth of Christ. We talked about all kinds of basic bottom line kind of doctrines, and we need to adhere to those, especially when it comes to dealing with daily truths and understanding of what's going on in our life. There are so many things that happen in our life that could cause us to question God. Does he really care? God, have you left me? It feels like you've left me. And so we need to be well-versed in those bottom line doctrines. For example, God loves you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. I've watched too many people go in a movement of ministry that happened in the 70s and the 80s, where there was a lot of emphasis on the things that we would receive if we just believed, prayed, and believed hard enough, had enough faith that we'd receive these things. And then when people didn't receive these things, they shipwrecked in their faith, because they didn't have that bottom line assurance of God loves me no matter what. And I just possibly do not understand what's happening. That might be part of it. But instead they're just, well, God's forsaken me. He's not answered my prayers. I had enough faith and he didn't respond, and so forth. So I just have witnessed too much of that to realize that we need to be established on those bottom line doctrines. But then there's stuff that's happening each day where you are confronted with, how am I going to determine the way I'm going to respond in this situation? And my intent in this is to help you to assimilate, accumulate, download that truth so that you will be able to respond in those life situations, having the confidence that I'm doing the right thing because I'm ordering my life according to the truth. So this is how we're going to initiate and how we will get there. Follow me. We're going to open up this app and start talking about truth applications. First of all, discerning truth. As you saw when the phone opened up, the discerning truth was one of those applications of the Truth app. First of all, we need to ask, what is truth? And we're going to see a biblical example of where that question was asked. And how do you know if something is true? And what are the obstacles to truth? What are some of the challenges that you deal with when you are attempting to discern truth? Then we need to talk about speaking truth, or excuse me, believing truth. What you believe affects the way you think. And what you think affects the way you act. How you act affects the outcome of your life. And so when you are responding to life situations, there's a huge difference in the outcome of your life dependent upon your decision. And you want to be discerning and deciding things according to what's true, what is right, and knowing the difference between right and wrong. Then we'll talk about speaking truth. First of all, you got to speak truth to yourself, because there are so many opposing voices, and we understand the enemy, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. He will attempt to make you feel worthless, unworthy, unable to serve God, feel like you have no gifts that are going to be of significance for anyone else. Who am I? How could I do this? What difference will I make? And the accuser of the brethren will run you down so that he renders you ineffective. So we need to know how to address that and speak truth, first of all, to ourselves and declare, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made me that way. I'm an overcomer. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's repeating those things that are truth and telling yourself the truth, but also telling the truth to others. And here's the key with that, doing it with love and with discretion. I'll share a funny little anecdote that I think will help you to know how you can do that, how you can speak the truth, but do it in love, as the scripture challenges in Ephesians, to speak the truth in love and also to do it with discretion. You know, you don't have to say everything you know. Have you figured that out? Sometimes you can get in trouble saying everything you know, even if it's the truth. So we're going to talk about that and know how to use discretion. And then also setting the course of your life with your tongue. You know, James speaks about that, like the rudder on a ship or like the bridle on a horse's mouth. So the tongue, this smallest member of the body, steers and sets a course, sets on fire the course of your life. And so if you're speaking a lot of negativity and, well, you know, sure enough, this is going to happen and we're going to, you know, we won't survive this chaotic whatever, you know, you start speaking that way and you drag yourself right down into the pit with your own language. So setting a course with your tongue. And then acting on truth. What you believe affects how you act. We spoke of that already. And not just hearers or just believers, but doers. Jesus spoke of this in the parable of the sower sowing the seed and the parable of the one who hears the word and does it. Excuse me, I get my parables mixed up. The parable of the foolish man and the wise man building their house on the sand or building their house on the rock. He said the one who hears it and does it is the one who has built his house on the foundation of the solid rock. And then he goes on to say, you will be blessed rather than deluded. Now, deluded means to be deceived. And when you are operating with deceit, you are deceived, you're going to be held captive by that deceit. However, if you're functioning with truth and you know what the truth is, Jesus said it himself, you're going to be blessed. If you hear his words and respond, act on his words, not just hearers or just believers, but doers, then you'll be blessed rather than deluded. And then finally in this, we're going to be pursuing the freedom of truth and escaping the bondage of lies. You're familiar with the passage, and we're going to go there actually this morning, where Jesus said, you know, if you're my disciples, and you follow me, and you know that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we need to realize the validity of that. But then we're, as I've already indicated, we're going to have to learn how to deal with opposing truths or untruths or those things that are raised up against the knowledge of God. When it speaks about people in the Bible, it talks about them suppressing truth. In other words, they know the truth about God, but they suppress it. In other words, we don't want to admit that. Or we don't want to propagate this truth because we have an agenda that we want to have go our way. We want to declare ourselves to be God rather than God to be God. And so they suppress the truth. Even though it says in Romans 1, he's made it evident to them by his creation, yet they suppress the truth and exchange the truth for a lie. We need to guard against that happening in our own lives. People come with convincing arguments, another passage of Scripture says. Convincing arguments that will intend to steer you off of the path of truth and into the path of deception. The Bible also speaks of trading the truth of God for a lie, refusing to obey the truth, maligning the way of truth. So there is a wage that's being a war that is being waged out there that would steal that truth away from you. Again, back to the parable of the sower sows the seed. Remember when Jesus said the one who sows it by the roadside, the birds come and immediately steal, and he's talking about Satan. Satan comes immediately to take out that word that was sown. How does he do it? He does it through deception. He does it through maligning the way of truth. It's not going to work that way. Who do you think you are to put that kind of expectation on the God of the universe? He doesn't have time for you. All these kinds of things that are opposing the truth, that make it a challenge for us in our day-to-day walk. What should I do, Lord? How should I respond? So, discerning the truth. Well, let's go right into the first part of this. And like I said, I'll give you as much as I have time to give today. But it's going well, so don't interrupt me. Just kidding. All right, discerning truth. First of all, let's ask the question, what is truth? The definition of truth, and it has to be accurate because I asked Siri on my smartphone this morning, what is truth? And she took me to Wikipedia, and it sounded a whole lot like this. So this definition must be true, right? So here it is defined. The true or actual state of a matter, a verified or indisputable fact, proposition, principle, or the like. We could use the words factual, or we could use the word actual. Those two, just add a letter, it means the same. I don't get that, but that's the English language. But anyway, factual or actual. And so this is what we are able to understand, what is truth, something that is actual, the true or actual state of a matter, a verified or indisputable fact. Now, how many of you know that people love to dispute indisputable facts? And so you have to choose who you're going to listen to and choose who you agree with, and what is the basis for that agreement with the things that they are disputing, the indisputable facts. And so you just have to be attentive to that, rather than just, wow, they're a really important person and that's what they said. Or I read it on the internet, and if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. I read it in the paper. It was on the news, on TV. That must make it true. Mom and Dad said it. Well, question that then. That's just Mom and Dad. You know they're old. They don't get it. Well, isn't that what we do sometimes? Until we get old enough to realize that Mom and Dad were a whole lot smarter than we thought they were. We start changing. So anyway, factual and actual. Let's turn to John chapter 18. And we're going to see Jesus get this question asked, what is truth? John chapter 18. How many of you know who asked that question? Who? Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? Interesting, isn't it? John chapter 18, starting with verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate said, so you are a king. Jesus responded, you say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. What is truth? Pilate asked. Then he went out again and to the people and told them he is not guilty of any crime. I'll stop there for now. So when Jesus is asked this question, what is truth? He says, all who love the truth are going to be able to receive it, understand it. And all who love the truth will recognize that what I say is true. So when we're talking about embracing truth, you know, that's the first question. Do you love truth? And here's the deal. You know, Charlie brought up this morning about humility. Do you love the truth when it shows you you're in error? That's when you get challenged with your humility to say, I was wrong. I need to change my thinking. I thought this, but it's not true. I've just learned the truth. That takes real humility. It was interesting. We had an evening with Gary and Katrina Walters, and we were talking about those who get caught in deception. And Katrina was saying, you know, the most challenging thing about those that are deceived is the pride that is there, because they will not admit to being deceived. There's a huge level of pride. And I said, you know, in response to that, and I said, and the lack of humility prevents them from acknowledging they're wrong. So that's part of what we need to be able to embrace is love the truth, even when it shows you where you're wrong, where you need to be corrected. Love the truth. All who love the truth will recognize what I say is true. Now, it appears that Pilate is asking this question in kind of a mocking way, because he doesn't even stay to get the answer. Now, what is truth? And he wanders off out to talk to the people. But so, you know, I think it kind of indicated, you know, I'm not going to be satisfied with his answer. I'm not going to get a satisfactory answer. He'll bloviate about all the things that he believes are true, but what's that going to mean to me? I'm the ruler here. And so he doesn't even stay to listen. But here's the ironic thing that I found very interesting. Pilate says, "What is truth?" And then he goes out to the people and he declares truth. He says, "He is not guilty of any crime." So I found that interesting. Pilate's asking, "What is truth?" And then he turns around and declares it. But if you're still there in John 18, move to John 19 and look at verse 7. It says, well, the last part of verse 6, it says, "Take him and crucify him." Pilate said, "I find him not guilty." And the Jewish leaders replied, "By our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." Now, was he the Son of God? Was Jesus lying? No, he was speaking the truth. Their law could not embrace that truth. So see how their law stood up? And in their pride, they said, you know, "We're holding fast to this law," rather than saying, you know, "There's enough about this man for us to at least investigate further. Is that true, what he said?" You know, it really, Pilate gets really troubled. And if we have time today, we're going to go into his wrestling with truth. He really struggled with this, especially when they were declaring, he says he's the Son of God. Pilate's going, you know, I wonder if maybe he is. And he is so reluctant to hand him over to be crucified. He continually says, "I find no guilt in this man." So very, very interesting. But let's go on then. We're going to look at, I think I'm going to run through these. I'm not going to, oh, sorry, there's that scripture, John 19:17. I'm not going to run through Pilate's battle with truth right now. It's that passage of scripture, and we may come back to that. But skipping the pictures, there we go, on to John 17:17, because I want to continue on with this embracing truth, and how do you know that what you are believing is true? In John 17:17, this is where Jesus is praying, and he says this in his, it's called the high priestly prayer. He says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." So here's where we want to start, people. Here's one of those bottom line things. God's word is truth. So anytime you're facing a situation, the very first question you ought to ask when you're saying, "How should I respond to this?" is, "What does the word of God say concerning this?" Do you realize how vital it is for you to know the word of God? Because if you are only going by what other people have told you, even good, godly ministers who preach with the anointing, if you're only going by what they have had to say rather than you knowing the scripture or knowing how to find a scripture that deals with the topic that you are dealing with and dealing with it in context, because you can't just pull out a verse and, "Oh yeah, this says exactly what I want it to say." You realize how many times we do that with the scriptures? Instead of taking it in its context, we say, "Yeah, that agrees with me, so I believe that." We need to first of all realize God's word is truth and settle on that bottom line thing so that God's word becomes final authority in our life. We emphasize that a lot here around this church at Praise Fellowship, that God's word is final authority in our life. It's intended to be. Then John chapter 7, I'll just put this on the screen for you, in verses 16 and 17. So Jesus told them, "My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know me, will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own." So here's another thing to qualify us for embracing truth. Anyone who loves the truth will know the truth, and anyone who is willing to do the will of God, wants to do the will of God, will know that whether the teachings of Jesus is from God or his own. Then John chapter 8, 31, this is one we're familiar with, 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, if we want to go back to our illustration of using technology, with every instrument of technology you have, there is an operating system called OS, operating system. And what you need is an operating system that is going to be compatible with the Truth app, the application of truth in your life. In other words, what's your makeup? How have you determined you're going to follow God, humble yourself, determine his word is final authority? What kind of an operating system do you have? Operating systems are software that manage programs. And application programs require an operating system to function. And usually there's a list of minimum requirements. Your operating system has to have these minimum requirements for it to work. If you're trying to install this on Windows XP, it won't work. That's too out of date or whatever. And so there's minimum requirements. And so it is with us when we are attempting to embrace truth. There's minimum requirements for our operating system to receive that download of truth from God's word. We've already talked about pride's not going to let it through. If your operating system is functioning with pride in it, you'll say, "Well, I like what I like," and the other, forget it. If you need more information about operating systems, talk to Art. I know, that's old, isn't it? An old version. I knew someone would notice that. Someone with good eyes. That's version 5. Wow, that's old. So anyway, talk about out of date. I should have consulted you before I put my slides together for this message. So anyway, here's some of the operating system minimum requirements. Again, we've talked about it. You got to love the truth. Whoops, did I miss that? Oh, it's on that same slide. Love truth. Believe God's word is truth, and remain faithful to Jesus' teachings. Those are minimum requirements for you to be able to download this truth into your life, function with this application of truth in your daily life. These are some of the minimum requirements. There's others you'll see as we continue on. Another familiar passage, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Okay, so here's what God's word does. It teaches us what is true, and it also corrects us when we're wrong. It takes that humility to admit, I am wrong. I was wrong. I need to be corrected. That's a minimum requirement for receiving truth. If you will not operate in humility, you'll go off in your own deception. And the outcome of your life will be one of bondage rather than one of freedom, because you're operating in the captivity of a lie rather than in the freedom of truth. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 speaks of the word of God when it says, "For the word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." You know why that's the reason why a lot of people avoid the word? I don't want my inner thoughts and desires exposed. I have enough trouble as it is. To be confronted by God Almighty is not a comfortable thing. That's why some people avoid church. It's like, that makes me too uncomfortable. Yeah, because you're experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit who wants to get you back on the right path. So his word is alive and powerful, and it exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Well, with any program, any application It's always great to have technical support, right, Art? He's going to say, he's going to be my amen corner here pretty soon. But we need to ask, who is the IT guy? Have you ever called for, well, IT means information technology. So sometimes you need support for how your operating system is running or not, and you need to figure out what you need to do. Have any of you ever called for support and gotten someone with such an accent that you could not understand them? I had a professor in college for chemistry who was from a different country. And in chemistry, you're dealing with a lot of volume. Volume. And you abbreviate volume with V. V1 plus V2 equals V3. However, from the country he was from, it was we. V1 plus V2 equals V3. Now, can you imagine asking for technical support and the IT guy says, hit the control wiki. The what? The control wiki. I don't have a wiki. Yes, you do. It's right there next to the, you know, hit the control wiki. But so anyway, it's great to know who the IT guy is and that you can understand them, first of all, and that you know that they're going to give you the information that you need. And we have that IT guy in the form of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So here we have this IT guy, the Holy Spirit, who's going to help us troubleshoot. He's going to remind us of what God's Word says. He's going to lead us into truth. He'll even tell you about the future, is what it says here. And so we need to be able to acknowledge that and embrace that ministry of the Holy Spirit as the one to help us with our information technology, downloading this truth and applying it to our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to have you look this one up if you would open or turn on your Bibles. Again, I realize when we're talking technology, many of you do not have the paper bound anymore. It's all electronic, and I'm fine with that. In fact, I've heard of a couple of people that that race to find out who can get to the scripture first, because one does it electronically and the other does it by the Bible print. And so I'm not going to say who that is, but I did just look at one of them. You don't know. Okay, so First Corinthians 2, starting with verse 6. I'm going to read verse 6 through 13 first. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak the words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When you tell us these things, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. We'll go on, but I just want to put up a couple of things from there. First of all, speaking of God's mysteries, the Spirit of God will reveal God's mysteries to us. Now, when it started talking about these mysteries hidden, the rulers of this world didn't understand these mysteries. Otherwise, Pilate and the Jewish leaders would not have said the rulers of the world, they would not have crucified him if they would have understood the truth, if they would have embraced what the Spirit of God was revealing. Now, we know that in the grand plan of God, Jesus had to be crucified. So I'm not trying to subvert the overall will of God and say, you know, wouldn't it have been great if Jesus had not been crucified because everyone understood the truth? Well, he had to be because of our sin. So, but here it's talking about those, if they would have understood, they would have said, this is the Son of God. Let's not put him to death. And then how it goes on to say that God's mysteries are revealed to us by his Spirit, speaking spiritual truths to us. But now let's go on with verses 14 and 15, because there can be an obstacle for us receiving that truth, and it explains it very clearly here. But people who aren't spiritual, I'm in verse 14, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. So here we're talking about, are you a spiritual person? Because people who aren't spiritual, people who do not have the Spirit or have not yielded to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit because of pride or because of, you know, I have my favorite verses and I believe them the way I believe them because they agree with me, rather than having that, you know, people who aren't spiritual, they cannot receive these truths. Your operating system will not allow the truth application to function in you. So we need to become spiritual people. Otherwise, these things of God would just simply be foolishness to us. And it says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. That's what we want. We want to be spiritual so that we can discern. When something comes up bold-faced to us, and we have to make a decision, we want a decision that's based on truth, that leads to freedom. And by the way, just because you make a decision for truth doesn't mean it will always be easy. In fact, people die for freedom. So we need to, you know, get that out of our heads that, well, if we have truth, then our life's going to be great. There'll be challenges. We'll see that as we come up against people who oppose truth, people who devise wise-sounding arguments against truth. They will make life miserable for you if they can. Verse 16, then, it goes on to say, but we understand, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. So here's the deal. We have the mind of Christ. That's how we can know truth and understand truth. I'm going to encourage you to, on your own, read through John chapter 19, and you will see the wrestling that Pilate did concerning truth, because he's hearing this about Jesus being the Son of God, about Jesus being the king of a different kingdom. He's finding no guilt in him, but he's receiving pressure from the populace that are saying, no, crucify him. What he has done is against our law. And Pilate's saying, you go, you do it. And they're saying, no, we can't. Our law says we can't. And so finally, Pilate gives over to their popular decision, even when his wife warns him and says, have nothing to do with this man. I had a dream. He didn't listen to his wife. That was the whole problem with Pilate. And guys, you will find out more often than not, your wife is the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you're having trouble listening and wrestling with truth, she will help you out. I can attest to that several times. Well, once in a while, she needs to be corrected too. But the point of it is with the Holy Spirit, and see, I'm confident that what's going on in Pilate's life is more than just rational knowledge. He's putting things together, and it's not measuring up for what the people, the rulers of the Jewish people are saying, this is the way it is, and he needs to be crucified. But so I encourage you, like I said, to read through John chapter 19 and see, and add to that Luke chapter 23, because there are some things that go together there. That was it, Luke or Matthew? Excuse me, I'll just check here. I want to get you headed in the right direction. Luke 23, yes. So with those passages of Scripture, you will see a man who's desiring to do the right thing, but he gets talked into or pressured into doing something that he didn't want to do himself. Must be time to close. Okay. When the end buzzer goes off, then it's time to close. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how it guides us and leads us, and the Spirit of God given to each one of us to help us to receive these truths. As we adventure into this series, Lord, of the application of truth, the Truth App series, my prayer is that we can make the application, Lord, in our daily lives so that we are walking through those issues and those situations and being able to apply truth to them so we can have the best outcome possible. We want to stick with you, Lord. We want your word to be first place. We want to have the correct perspective when we are making decisions. I just speak that blessing over these people in Jesus' name. Amen.